Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, guys, in a season where the Rockets are doing so much winning on the floor, it's only fitting that they do it off the floor as well. On that positive note, welcome in to an end-of-week episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose with Sports Talk 790. The big news on this Friday, of course, the Donatas Moniunas saga, it is finally over. He has agreed to a new contract with the Rockets. He's going to be with the team fairly soon. I doubt he will be this weekend, two games in Oklahoma City tonight, at Dallas on Saturday. We'll get to his timeline in a minute, but first, I want to get to the particulars of the deal. And really, when I think about the Rockets, four words come to mind for this franchise, and four words come to mind for this deal. How sweet it is. Literally, GM Daryl Morey won on every point here. I guess Moniunas, and especially his agent, BJ Armstrong, I don't think Donatas himself was that involved in these negotiations, but I think his agent, BJ Armstrong, was worried about the top line figure. What is the maximum amount I can get? And in this case, it's either $35 million or $37 million, depending on who you believe. 4 years, 35 is the most frequently cited figure, but there are some saying he could still get to 37 with some bonuses. So it's possible, and I think that's what BJ is going to say, is that instead of getting the $31 million deal it was after Houston match and had those bonuses that basically did not transfer from Brooklyn to Houston, he got it up to $35 or $37 million. But boy, did it come at a price. And when you're the Houston Rockets, it's a price they were willing to pay. Highlights of the deal, rather than having to decide on his 2017-2018 contract by March 1st, that date is now in mid-July. And rather than Moniunas having full veto rights on any trades for a full year, he has no veto rights. Now, he can't be traded for 90 days, and that 90-day period stretches beyond the February trade deadline, so he's not going to be traded this year. However, what that means is that the Rockets can trade him next summer, and given how team-friendly the deal is, it's a safe bet that he will have a market. And really, I'll start there. This deal is one of the more team-friendly ones I have ever seen. As a few people pointed out on Twitter, I have never seen three consecutive team options like this, all in mid-July as well. That is incredibly valuable to a team like the Rockets because essentially it puts all options on the table. They can go so many different directions in July 2017, July 2018, even July 2019. If they need that cap space, well, they know in the back of their mind that they can clear that salary cap figure. They can release him and then it goes away like that. And if they don't need that cap space and they want to keep the team together, then they can, you know, wait until the deadline and then pick him up on the back end. There are so many options that this gives them. And when it comes to the rest of the league, they're going to see that as well. This is a guy, Donatas Moniunas, a very talented 7-footer with good defense, good range, good low post game. If he's healthy on basically under $10 million a year, which we've said before was a good deal for his skill set, assuming he's healthy. And now, not only is he under $10 million every year, the team has the control for every year. You can keep him for 4 years if you want, or you can keep him for as little as 1 year. Basically, whatever is best for your individual situation. So it's great for the Rockets, and it also is great around the league. So the other good thing about this, even if the Rockets do need the cap space, I don't think they're going to have to release him because this deal is so favorable. I think it builds up quite a trade market for him as well. He's essentially one of these non-guaranteed deals where he can give you positive value on the court and he gives you potential flexibility if you need it off it as well. So the Rockets won on that point. When you think back to the discussions we've had over the past week, there were two negatives to the original contract. The first was that March 1st date, because basically you'd have to decide by then if it was worth it to keep Monty Unis on the books for next summer, or not next summer, next season. And if it wasn't, you essentially flushed $9 million down the drain because you wouldn't even be able to use him for your playoff push in March, April, and actually in the playoffs themselves. Well, now you can. Worst case scenario, even if he plays poorly, and even if there's not a market for him, which I find rather far-fetched, you can still use him as depth and valuable insurance through this full season, through the regular season, through however long a playoff run would go. So that's positive. That aspect of it is taken away. The other thing is trade value. I said, well, if there's not the opportunity to get out of the contract, well, if the Rockets see that space, can they move him? And the complication with the original thing was him having veto rights, and of course the Rockets having to work with Demo and BJ Armstrong. That's not been a pleasant process over the past 5 months to find an acceptable destination. And if they can't, the Rockets would be kind of, you know, hamstrung for that space. And now that's out the window as well. The trade veto was only a stipulation if the Rockets matched an outside offer from elsewhere. The way this went down, they let him out of the old contract, sent him back into restricted free agency, and now negotiated a new one. So this is a win on every possible level for the Rockets. And by the way, before people say, well, maybe he's just hurt and this just doesn't matter because he's just going to be the end of the bench guy, go back to how this process went down. If the Rockets were not convinced he could be a contributor, they would have let him go. The great thing about this, we have proof that the Rockets believed in him, because if they didn't, they would have let him go to Brooklyn. That's a decent amount of money, and you know, the original deal, having to make a decision by March 1st or be on the hook for $9 million for a player that's not even with you in the playoffs, and then not having full trade power with him having the ability to veto any deals for 12 months... For the Rockets to match that deal and expect him to report on Tuesday, you know, there's no funny business going on here. The Rockets thought he was just that valuable of a basketball player to do that, even with the limitations. So now you get Demo himself minus the limitations, and it is amazing what a good deal this is. Another angle we haven't even discussed, I think it also gives Mike D'Antoni more flexibility just this year when it comes to the rotations. Because before, it was going to be a little bit of a sensitive issue if you need to trade him to clear that salary cap space, because as I said before, I never thought getting rid of him by March 1st was all that reasonable. If you need to trade him, it would inevitably push the Rockets to play him a little bit more, because you would have to build the market. It would be tough to, you know, sell other teams on trading for a guy who's can't even crack the rotation. Well, now, because you have so much control, not just over trading to the entire league, but worst case scenario, you can just cut the guy and, you know, in early July when major free agents are making their decisions and no matter what, still get out of the contract for next year, it gives Mike D'Antoni every right to build the rotation as he sees fit. If Demo comes in and he's immediately an upgrade over some of the guys in the rotation, the likes of Nene and Montrezl Harrell, great, you play him. If Demo gets outplayed, then you know what? You sit him and you make him earn it. There's no, you know, exterior forces kind of pushing you to make a decision that may not be best for your basketball team. Right now, the highlight from this, the Rockets have full control. Everything they do as a franchise this year with Demo is in their best interest because they have full control on every possible front. And why did Demo and his agent do this? And a contract that's after 5 months is this friendly to the Rockets? Really, if you had told the Rockets in July that they would get this deal, I think they would have happily accepted it. It's amazing to think that this whole saga drug out 4 or 5 months when in reality we could have gotten to this deal, you know, the first couple of weeks of July. I'm sure Daryl Morey would have gladly taken this back then. So what did they fight for? Well, I guess, well, like I said, BJ probably thinks it salvages his reputation a little bit to get that top line figure back to 35 or 37 million. And, it, you know, I hope he makes it. Nothing would make me happier than if Monty Unis plays really well. He's with the Rockets for 4 years, and none of these options matter. You know, maybe he plays really well. The Rockets see him as a key part of their team. He's a starter for a number of years, and essentially he earns every penny, 4 years, $37 million. If that scenario happens, and I'm sure the Rockets would love it too because it's in the best interest of their basketball team, then great. And in that scenario, I guess BJ did help himself and help his client because he did get a little bit of a higher top end to the deal. But for the Rockets, certainly you have to worry about not just the upper 5 or 10% scenario, but all the middle range scenarios. And really, right now, the Rockets prepared themselves for every possible contingency, so this is a win-win for them. The other thing I would point out, give credit to Demo. I think an understated kind of factor that led to this deal getting done, he wants to play basketball. I know Demo let BJ do the vast majority of the negotiating, but Donatas Manouinis, he's a nice guy. He's a good teammate. When he gets back to the Rockets, and I suspect that's going to happen in the next few days, I don't think there's going to be any talk about his contract. There's not going to be any chemistry issues. He's just a good guy who works hard and wants to play basketball. And so when this deal fell apart earlier this week, whereas BJ might have wanted to play the field and see if he could get any outside offers, that's something that was leaked to Calvin Watkins of ESPN, that they were open to getting outside offers. I think both BJ and especially Demo, they recognized that the Rockets still held the cards, because, of course, until they were ready to negotiate this new deal, they just held them under the terms of the old one. But more than that, any other leverage they could, you know, wrangle out here would have been from Demo not playing basketball. And I think at the end of the day, he's a young kid. Sure, he wants to get paid, but he just wants to play. He just wants to be in his locker room and go out and play the sport that he loves. And I think that's why he was so willing to accept a deal that's this team-friendly for the Rockets, because, of course, part of it was his leverage going out, but the other part, he knew he had no leverage, and he didn't want to drag this out. He didn't want to sit and pout for weeks. He just said, you know what, I've got to make the best of a bad situation, and the best of a bad situation for him is to go out and play and hopefully prove he's healthy. And at the end of the day, let's keep in mind, we're all Rockets fans. We want the team to do well. The best case scenario is if he goes out and plays well, and if he plays really well, then maybe he'll just earn that full four-year, $37 million deal in Houston. And that's the one scenario where everyone wins. So I think we can all root for that. Anyway, before we close out the show, I also want to touch on the timeline moving forward. Now, it's going to be a very busy couple of days for the Rockets. They're in Oklahoma City tonight. That's a nationally televised game on ESPN. They also come home tomorrow, second end of a back-to-back, to host Dallas on Saturday night. Now, the way I think this is going to work for Demo, I think he's going to report to Toyota Center today, that's Friday, to sign anything that needs to be signed, probably take the physical. I'm assuming everything's going to go well there because, well, he passed the Brooklyn physical just last week, so I would not anticipate any issues on that front. I don't think he's going to fly to Oklahoma City just to get there at 6 o'clock and, you know, sit at the end of the bench, because clearly they're not just going to throw him in, not even having been through a shoot-around, let alone a practice. I also don't think he'll be ready to play Saturday night in Dallas because, of course, they're not going to have a practice during a back-to-back. I do think he might be at the end of the bench, maybe in street clothes. I think that's a possibility, and if he's there, that'll be cool for the fans at Toyota Center to get to recognize him and all that sort of thing. But where this works out well, the Rockets over the next week, after this game tonight in Oklahoma City, they are not on the road again until Saturday the 17th in Minnesota. The way the schedule breaks down after today, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at home. Dallas, Brooklyn, Sacramento, New Orleans. So that means you will have off days on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. I think at least two of those days, if not all three, will be practice days. And so that's the best way to integrate a new player like Demo. You don't want to do it on the fly, and you don't want to do it at shoot-around. You want him to go through a real practice or two. And with the team being at home over really the next 8 days, you're never going to get a much easier stretch to integrate him. So I think he'll probably report to a practice on Sunday. And you could see him as soon as Monday, but I'd say maybe they wait for two practices. So I'm going to guess Wednesday the 14th against the Kings is the first time you might see him fully in uniform and ready to go. Now, will he get a rotation spot immediately? I don't know, because right now it's pretty clear it's a battle for even the likes of Montrezl Harrell to get minutes. I did a column on him yesterday at sports790.com. Montrez is playing great basketball, but they're struggling to even play three centers with Capella, Nene, and Montrezl Harrell. At the four spot, you've got Ryan Anderson, and you also have Sam Decker playing a lot of the 4 minutes behind Ryan. So it's not going to be easy for Demo to get minutes, even if he was fully healthy. You look at guys like Montrezl Harrell, Sam Decker, Nene, these are very good NBA players, two of them young and improving, and it's not going to be an easy path to minutes. But certainly, depending on the matchups, that's one great thing about Mike D'Antoni. I don't think he is married to any one particular rotation. He's shown a willingness to mix and match when he sees fit. So maybe this week there'll be an advantageous matchup for Demo. The other thing, if there's one encouraging aspect for the Rockets coming off that huge win over the Lakers, 39 points, to see them take care of business against an overmatched opponent, well, it's a good sign because they've got a lot of overmatched opponents in the next week. Dallas, Brooklyn, Sacramento, New Orleans, the Rockets should be better than all of those teams. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to blow out all of them because certainly it's the NBA, and at least one or two of those nights, the other team is just going to have their night, or the Rockets may just be cold and not be able to third in the ocean. That's the way it happens over an 82-game year. But the point is, you hope that at least one or two of those games, maybe you get a blowout like you did against the Lakers, and that makes it all the easier to start getting Monty Unis some minutes, some low-leverage minutes, where even if he's a little bit rusty, you know, you keep him out there the entire fourth quarter and let him start knocking off the rust, and then maybe by the end of this month, you have him much more ready to play. Because towards the end of this month, you are going to see some bigger front lines. Tuesday the 20th, you play San Antonio. Friday the 23rd, they're in Memphis. Friday the 30th, they play the Clippers. Those are three teams, San Antonio, Memphis, the Clippers, that are very big. They are very physical on that front line. And at first glance, those are the kind of matchups where, to me, the Rockets might could use Monty Unis' size, his defense, and his ability to create some on the low block. The good news, by getting him in today, that doesn't start for another week and a half. So really, you've got close to 10 days to integrate him, to let him go through a couple of practices. As I said, the Rockets are home all this week, so that makes it very easy to have practices. And hopefully by the middle to latter part of next week, he's in uniform and actually starting to get minutes, depending on exactly how those games go. Anyway, I will wrap up there. Again, I know it's been a busy week here at Lockdown Rockets. We've had so many Donis Monty Unis shows, but I felt like we needed one more since this is actually finally the end of the saga, and now he goes back into the Rockets locker room and can start playing basketball. Let's all celebrate that. But for today, we can also celebrate a contract that is incredibly favorable for the Rockets. They get Donis Monty Unis back, more insurance, more depth. They're a better basketball team today, and they also have full control of tomorrow based on all the options on the deal, based on their ability to trade him. So yeah, it's a no-lose situation unless you're Les Alexander's personal accountant. Other than that $9 million, or really $8.5 million, that Les is going to have to pay, and you really shouldn't be worried about that. Les is going to be just fine, guys. It's a no-lose situation because the Rockets become a better team this year. They get more depth. And going forward, if he plays well, then you get to keep him on a reasonable deal. And if he doesn't, then you can trade him or let him go at no punishment to your future flexibility in July 2017 or any subsequent free agency periods. Anyway, I'll wrap up. Again, thanks to all of you guys for listening throughout the week. I know we've had a ton of shows, so if you have stuck with us, I greatly appreciate it. Again, I'm Ben Dubose with Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow the show at Locked On Rockets. You can also email us at lockdownrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing program. I also want to throw a shout out to our friends at Locked On Texans. That's our sister podcast across the way in Houston covering the Houston Texans. They've got a big game coming up this Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. If they want to make the playoffs, have any hopes of winning the AFC South, they've almost got to take care of business in that game. And my buddy Robert Land, he will have you covered. That's Locked On Texans. It's on the same Locked On Podcast Network, and you can find it the same places you find us. iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, wherever you consume your podcast, just search for Locked On Rockets, Locked On Texans, and you can find all sorts of daily coverage for your favorite Houston teams. So with that said, I'm going to sign off. Please stick with us because we're going to have a lot to discuss, both on Twitter and on here the next 2 days. It's going to be a busy 30 hours or so for the Rockets. Thunder in Oklahoma City on Friday night. That's a big game for playoff positioning. The Thunder really aren't that far behind the Rockets in the standings. They've been playing surprisingly well, although against a much weaker schedule than the Rockets, so I still think the Rockets are a better team. But we've got that game tonight in Oklahoma City, and then a very quick turnaround for the Dallas game Saturday night. Now, Dallas, obviously not a good team this year, but it's a big rivalry. You know they hate the Rockets, and you know they're going to be giving it their A game, whatever their A game is. So we'll have a lot to discuss this weekend. Stay tuned with Locked On Rockets. Appreciate all you guys so much for being there with us, and I will be chatting with you again throughout these 2 games over the weekend. Enjoy your weekend.